Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of Browns.
You know
fans.
Why it's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
It's Rivalry Week on The Fan.
Dante Moore, plenty of time. Deep. Got a man on the run. Touchdown. My goodness, what a throw.
The Oregon Ducks.
We spin to win. Some people save to have an excuse for why they don't.
The Oregon State Beavers.
We've allowed ourselves to create their success. Special teams, f***ing Joe, they did nothing to harm us.
This is a Rivalry Week edition of Primetime with Isaac and Souk. Brought to you by Roto-Rooter, the experts in plumbing, drains, and water cleanup on the Fan Sports Network. 105.1 FM, 1080 AM, and the Odyssey app.
All right. Welcome back. Do you think our new voice guy, and he is new when we made the flip, Dusty, that's one of Dusty's first big moves.
Yeah.
Besides
new imaging.
Yeah. Besides the flip itself, he got this new voice guy, and he's a movie guy. Like, he does a lot of movies and stuff.
Yeah. In a world.
But he's not that particular guy.
No, but that, you know, he does trailers and whatnot.
But he's never really done. One of the things I think Dusty liked about him is he's never really done radio or sports radio imaging or anything. Mm-hmm. Do you think he's sitting back going, God, this is tough. This is like the toughest thing I've ever had to do.
This Wivalry Week thing is just, man.
You're making me say Wivalry Week? He's like, ah.
He's used to doing Robert Redford movies, and at no point it was in a Wivalry Week
not
sort
as easy
of movie
as I thought.
With Wabbit Wedford.
A 20-12-5 upset. Now on to other things.
I love the 20-12-5.
We have another angry coach.
Yeah. Shocking. The world of college football is full of red ass.
It's a dadgum mistake.
Yeah. And by the way, these two often fight for the top spot on my power rankings of biggest douche in college football that I hate.
Who's these two?
One, Brian Kelly, who
we
just got
yesterday.
Done talking about.
Oh, yeah.
And
from yesterday.
And from yesterday. You
He's
might
worse.
You might remember him from such tirades as, I'm an ass from yesterday. And then Dabo's like, don't forget about me.
Well, and they get really defensive.
Yes.
You know, they're overly defensive, these guys, which tells you exactly when you're onto something.
Mm-hmm.
Because otherwise, they would shrug it off.
Yeah. I said, if someone ever gets insulted and they freak out about it, just know that that insult hit very close to home.
So Clemson is, they are 1-2.
Yeah.
Their win over Troy was a slugfest, 27-16.
And it was a year coming in where everyone was coming back. You had a Heisman Trophy favorite at quarterback. Your defense is stocked with NFL talent. You finally have some receivers again. You made the college football playoff last year after a rocky start. I bet you more people, experts and pundits, had Clemson in the national championship than probably any other team.
Well, I have a juicy plus money ticket on them to win the ACC that I feel terrible about.
Yeah.
At this point. But I loved it at the start of the year.
Well, I think a lot of people did.
So they lost to LSU. They lost to Georgia Tech. Yeah. 1-2. And here is Dabo.
What's so bad about our program? What's so bad about it? Like, what's so bad about the worst season that we've had 14 years? How many programs in college football would sign up for, and only once, 14 years of 9 wins? How many programs would sign up for that? And the playoffs, we all talk about, we've been 7 times in 10 years. Who can say that? If we stink because we haven't played for the national championship since January of 20, well, I guess we stink. Yeah. Or we haven't won it since January of 19. We haven't won the national championship. Well, then I guess we stink. But why are we held to a different standard from all these other teams out there?
Oh, boy. The different standard, huh? Okay.
Yeah, we've done so much that now it's unfair how well people expect us to do.
Yeah.
And I, listen, there is an element of, even though Brian Kelly and Dabo are insufferable, yeah, seemingly, there, you know, there's always a thread of truth to sure what they're saying. Like, it's probably very frustrating for them,
yes,
to see the Johnny come lately, like, your offense sucks. Well, they were really good last year, and now they have three games, their offense does suck. So, yeah, he says, what's wrong with your program? Well, that, your offense sucks. How does it suck? Why does it suck? But, zooming out, I get their frustration,
yeah,
with people. You know, it's like a what have you done for me lately type of thing, and that can probably be frustrating because he has done a nice job there, and he has won championships.
He's done more
there
than a nice job, yeah, there.
I mean, he's done a great job.
Amazing job.
But that's also not to say, the flip side of that is, dude, when things are bad, acknowledge it.
You have to wear it.
Yes.
It's facing the music. It's part of the gig.
It's not that hard.
But and the thing with Dabo that drives me crazy is one, he's just, I just think he's full of it. He's so pious, and he leans on the Jesus thing so much, and yet, yeah, from Deshaun Watson on down, let's not act like your team is full of the most righteous men known to the universe. It's college football, for God's sakes. But at the first sign of something is wrong, they feel that their success insulates them from criticism.
Right.
And that's the part that is crazy. Yes, what have you done for me? You make $9 million a year and you have set the standard. And when you set the standard, people are going to ask why it doesn't look like it did 6 or 7 years ago. And again, every time you get defensive and freak out about it, all you do is highlight that you know that the program isn't what it used to be, which is why you get defensive about it. It's just, it's one of those things that is, it's like a self-fulfilling prophecy when you get pissy about something.
You want more?
Yeah, give me more, Dabo.
I know it's bad because I get in all the text messages, I'm praying for you, everybody's sending me devotions, and you're going to get through this. And, you know, that's when I know it's bad. That's how I feel it, because I don't read it.
Bull.
I don't. I know people say that. I promise you I don't.
Yeah, you do.
When it's bad, I don't read nothing. This ain't the worst thing that's happened to me in my life, and it won't be. And it won't be for these players. It's a bad moment, you know, because we take pride in what we do and we're competitive. But this ain't the worst thing that's ever happened to me in my life, is criticism and all that. And listen, I get it. And it's warranted because people care. And I love being at a program that people care and it matters. That doesn't bother me. I get all that. I spent 13 years at Alabama, so I had thick skin when I showed up here at Clemson.
It's so funny. He says, that doesn't bother me. We just played a 40-second clip where it seemed like it bothered you quite a lot.
Yeah.
And by the way, these are sequential. So he said what he just said there, yeah, after the first clip.
Yeah. How do I put?
I have more.
Yeah, because this is where, like, if you want me out of here, because I did hear that one too.
If they want me gone, if they tired of winning, they can send me on the way, because that's all we've done is win.
That's right.
So if they tired of winning, we've won this league 8 out of the last 10 years.
That's right.
Is that not good?
It's good. I'm just asking. Of course.
Is that good?
Yes, of course.
I don't know if that's good or not.
Oh, shut up.
To win your league 8 out of 10 years, to go to the playoffs 7 out of 10 years, to be in 4 national championships, win it twice.
Boy!
Yeah, we go down right now. Take your shots, but
all right.
I got a long memory, in case y'all don't know.
All right.
Yeah. Wait, I thought he wasn't bothered.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, you just said, hey, I get it, man.
I thought I wasn't bothered, but I am keeping,
these guys listen to themselves.
I'm keeping notes. Well, I mean, do you make $9 million a year? You're on top of the world. All you need to know about Dabo is that he insists on sprinting out of the tunnel first to lead the team. That's all you need to know about what Dabo thinks of Dabo.
Oh, wait. Dan Lanning does that.
Dan Lanning sprints down the hill in his first out?
No, Dan Lanning jogs out. He does not take it with the degree of tea that Dabo Swinney does.
Oh.
Have you seen Dabo run the hill?
No,
Oh my God, he comes charging out like the ultimate warrior at his intro.
And it's the duck really and the something. Motorcycle lead the team out onto the
and
field.
And Dan is first with the front line of players, but he jogs and they all pass him.
Dabo Swinney runs down the hill at Clemson, and he is first, and yes, it is the ultimate warrior going into the ring to fight Andre.
It's like he's clocking a 40-timer, thinks he is. It's unbelievable.
Oh, I gotta watch this here.
Who was that closer, that fat closer that used to sprint in from the bullpen? It looks kind of like that.
Yeah, bullpen guys always have. Either you're walking in really slow or you're sprinting in. It's always one of those.
To be fair,
The
Tiger comes first, but yes, there's Dabo. Look at him!
And he just doesn't stop. He goes like all the way out to the 50 with that sprint.
And then the team's way back there?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That is interesting. You want to go inside what it's like to sit in this role? Yeah, now. God.
Oh, Dabo. And he won't, just the sensitive coach thing. It feels like the better you are, the more sensitive you are, right? Like, the more success you have, the more pissy and bitchy you get, which is a strange thing. You would think that at some point your success would isolate you from that. And you're like, whatever. Like, it's not that hard. Like, if Tom Osborne was like this at Nebraska, dude, Tom just... There's just like a weird stoic confidence of like, yeah, whatever. I'm Tom Osborne.
We're fine.
And I know I'm Tom Osborne. Bite me.
Yeah, he was awesome in that way.
But you know, the Dabos of the world and the Brian Kellys, they lash out.
Well, I think they kind of get a how dare you question me attitude because they're allowed to. Yeah.
Jim Calhoun had this at UConn. It is the how dare you.
How dare you.
Exactly. There I'm is great. The how dare you.
So it all goes to their head.
Because Dabo really has been great at Clemson. You cannot argue his track record. His track record is fantastic. But then this goes back to the Brian Kelly thing. If your track record is fantastic, but over the last 5 or 6 years, it doesn't quite look the same, why is that an unfair question to ask? Why doesn't it look the same? And for you to take that as some sort of insult at you, well, now you're just you're insulting me by saying that my eyes can't tell the difference between what it looked like with Trevor Lawrence and what it looks like post Trevor Lawrence. I mean, that's just, Clemson does not look the same. And we thought this was going to be a bounce back year. It wasn't. So you get angry at someone for, and that's the other thing these coaches do. They get angry at people asking legitimate, reasonable questions.
Cause they're not used to hearing them and they don't want to hear them.
Yeah.
Yeah, they don't hear it.
Now,
they bully.
Here's an idea. If Kalen DeBoer were to crash out at Alabama, would Dabo jump ship and go back?
Ooh. I don't know. Nor do I. I don't know if Alabama would take him. But, yeah, I don't know. I just think...
Would you hire... If you're Alabama, would you hire Dabo?
No.
If Kalen DeBoer left?
I would not.
No.
There's part of me that wonders if
you go get Dan Lanning, don't you?
Yes. Well, I certainly would try. I don't think he's going. I think we're living in a world now where... Whether it's Dabo or whether it's, Ryan Day, I think Lanning, I think there's a handful of programs that have everything you need and why try to go restart something? I just, to say that the Clemson job is better than the Alabama job or that the Alabama job is better than the Oregon job or the Ohio State, like, I think at this point, I'm not certain that there is... There's this inherent advantage right now at a certain school A versus school B.
Well, they're different. And I mean, at Oregon and Clemson, you have way less resistance than you would in the SEC.
Yes.
But at the SEC, you also have being one of the SEC storied franchises, well, not franchises, schools of all time.
If I was Dan Lanning and I'm sitting in there, I'm not certain right now that there's a job in America if it's outside of money, right? Because if someone wants to come and pay me $12 million a year and Oregon doesn't want to pay me $12 million and that's all what it's about is money. But outside of that, and I wonder, would Oregon come up with $12 million if someone else offered Dan Lanning? Someone would have to explain to me right now that if I'm sitting at Ohio State or if I'm sitting at Oregon and Alabama comes calling and says, I want Ryan Day and I want Dan Lanning. What is it about Alabama, if I'm Ryan Day or Dan Lanning, that makes me say, I want that job as opposed to where I'm at? You say, well, we have access to recruits. Ohio State and Oregon both recruit in a top five level right now. And you say, well, we have great facilities. Ohio State and Oregon have as nice facilities as anyone in the country. You can make the argument Oregon has the nicest facilities in the country. You can say, well, we play in the preeminent conference in America. And I could say, well, the Big Ten makes more money than you do. And the Big Ten's an easier path for me to get to the playoff than you do in the SEC. So I'm not certain that that's an advantage. And you could say, well, we have a recruiting hotbed here in the South that you don't have in Ohio and on the West Coast. And I would say, well, but I get your players. The last 2 years, Oregon has signed the number one player out of the state of Alabama to come to Oregon. So when I'm looking at this, outside of it just being Alabama, and that's the name of it, what about Alabama makes it a better job than Ohio State? What makes it a better job than Oregon? What makes it a better job than Clemson? If I can do all the things, and by the way, I've already started to build something. In the case of Dabo, I built a program here that's won national championships that has beaten you. So I don't necessarily understand the allure in this day and age of a certain school. Now, I get it. If you're at if you're at Iowa State, then yes. Or if you're at one of those, but there's a handful of programs. I think Michigan falls into this, and there's 10 or 12 where I'm not certain that the move is necessarily the wisest thing to do.
Yeah, I agree. One game, two venues. That's next on The Fan. Well, I should report to you what just happened here. You know, the Padres are playing the Mets. There is someone who claims to be a Mets fan here.
Claims.
But only one of us was watching the game.
Yeah.
And it was me.
Yeah.
And I'm not a Mets fan.
Oh, that would make two of us.
And though. I have a Padres hat on today. So what is going on here? You weren't even watching. And the Mets, so Buck and I are going, oh my God, look at that. Mets have just dropped five on them in the first inning.
And I turned.
And you didn't even know it.
I turned. I went, what? I looked today and it said 7:10 first pitch.
This is a critical game. Why would they play at 7 in New York?
Didn't even think about it. When I saw 7:10, I was like, oh, yeah. I didn't even think about that they were still at home. Oh, by the way, Padres, suck at 5-0. Although that being said, much like then they were up 4-0, I said by the fourth inning they would be down 6-4. So I'm going to say by the seventh inning, the Padres will be up 7-5 in this ballgame.
Who's pitching for the Mets tonight?
Clay Holmes.
Oh, yeah.
And I think they're only going to run him maybe two or three, and then they're going to, I think, Manaea.
I am going to say, I'm going to be a little more optimistic.
Yeah.
I think it gets tied up. I'm not going to say that the Padres are leading 7-5 in the eighth inning, but I think it gets tied up. So over the weekend, there was a football game between Cleveland-based Case Western Reserve.
What?
And Indiana-based Wabash. Okay, so they played. Division III.
Okay.
Okay. Now, why am I bringing this up? Because it could have been a first in college football history. No one really knows.
Yeah.
But there were storms in the Indianapolis area.
By the way, there were, did you notice that four or five of the prominent games were in multiple hour weather
Big
delays?
Big Midwest storms last Saturday.
USC's was delayed. Obviously, Oregon State's was delayed. It was just every time I looked up, someone was delayed.
Well, Miami also had some down
Miami
there.
Had it, yeah,
Miami That one was delayed. But storms in Indy, the game starts, and it was about an hour late because of weather. Case Western, 14-7 lead, first quarter. Big lead over Wabash, okay? Just before halftime, I think, I don't know, not that it matters, but they, one of them tied it up. Okay,
sure.
21 all. Second half gets started. A minute into the action, lightning and heavy rain moves in.
Sure.
So the school officials from Wabash and Case, what did I say? Western Reserve, Case Western Reserve, decided to move the game mid-game. They went 2 miles away. 5 minute drive south to Crawfordsville High School, Indiana.
That's a, you can
you just, can do
you
that.
You can just move 2 miles away and call it good.
Well, they were looking at the radar and the weather patterns, and both schools said, "Yeah, if we go down there, we'll be able to finish this bitch off."
Oh my God!
And they did. They loaded up the teams on the buses and moved the game.
But I would not think that 2 miles would make the difference between. Hey,
they must have just been on the edge of the storm.
I guess. So,
and well, I thought it was that once it was clear to resume, the place they were initially playing did not have lights, and the high school did, and that's why they went there.
It doesn't say that here.
I thought that was part of the story, but
I love
maybe
it.
Wrong.
They were talking about the radar.
What place doesn't have light? What are we, Wrigley Field from 1986?
D3 plays? I don't know.
What?
Yeah.
God bless Division III football. So you just pack up and
there's them up.
They're like, we went and played at a high school.
And it's not the first, apparently it's not the first time they've done that.
Did all like seven fans like go with them?
Yeah, I don't know about the fans. It doesn't say anything about the fans in here.
Is there fans?
Probably not.
Like, what's the Division III schools around here? Like, what's the...
Linfield?
Because I know, like, there's NIA, and then there's Division III, and, like, what... Like, what's a Division III?
Pacific?
Do they have, I don't think they have football.
Willamette?
There you go. Willametta.
Willamette University.
So, by the way, didn't the little general... Didn't we talk about this? Wasn't Cooley a...
Lewis and Clark.
Lewis and Clark.
Oh, it was Lewis and Clark.
George Fox and Pacific are all... D3.
Oh, Lewis and Clark. Okay.
So
is Linfield.
At the
and Willamette.
So Linfield actually has fans. I was gonna say at the average Lewis and Clark football game, how many people are there?
Lewis and Clark?
Yeah.
Stadium's right by my house. I should go.
You want to take a?
I mean,
on a Saturday, can you take
7,500? I don't know. Am I wrong? I don't know.
So it says that I'm looking here.
Lewis and Clark football attendance?
Griswold Stadium, Clark W. Griswold Stadium, which is their actual stadium. It has a capacity of 3,500 people.
Okay.
Single ticket prices, $20 for a reserve seat, $12 for a general admission.
Is that a little high?
$12?
20, you said 20.
For a reserve seat.
Well, I like reserve seat. I don't.
I'm guessing you can spend the 12 and walk down to wherever you want to sit. So I'm asking, are there 1,000 people?
No.
At a Lewis and Clark football?
No.
1,000?
No.
500?
No. I just gave you my thoughts. I said 100. 50,
can anyone
100.
Please give me a real, like, is there has to be a Lewis and Clark, someone's got a kid that plays there. I need to know. So if we move the Lewis and Clark game, we're like, hey, this isn't going to work. We're moving this to Camas. We're going to drive.
It's a long way, but okay.
It's 25 minutes.
I know, but if they needed to move the game, there's closer high schools they can play than Camas.
I just was thinking we move away from the weather. Fine, you got to go play out in Happy Valley. We're moving to Clackamas, for heaven's sakes.
Okay.
We're going to go play at Clackamas Stadium. How many people make that drive?
Well, I think parents.
The friends and family.
Yeah.
100?
Maybe some girlfriends.
Yeah, I mean, you know, 70, 70, 50, 65, 69. 69. Maybe so, not even that. Nah, 35.
I love small time football like that.
Hey, it's community.
It's community. I kind of want to go see a Lewis and Clark game. Me and my buddy were at the Timbers game this weekend, and the Portland State Vikings are playing a game at the Timber Stadium. Later this year in October, I'm trying to remember who they're playing, but they're allowed to play one game a year. And we were debating the attendance at that game. Cause he's like, oh, it's like
I have the attendance
for Lewis and Clark.
Yeah. Oh. It's on their box score.
And so this is paid attendance. So, you know, it's not going to be, but we'll ballpark it, right? What do we got?
They just played George Fox,
mm-hmm.
A feisty 38-10 win.
Another local team.
Local
so you
teams.
Might get some local
so this
some
should,
George
this
Fox
should
fans
be double
too.
The attendance.
Beautiful day, 74 degrees.
Yeah.
Weather, sunny.
Yeah.
1,079.
Okay.
At all Lewis right. and Clark.
Hey.
Way better than I thought.
Way better than you thought. Now,
sorry,
that's LNC. That's two local teams.
Yeah. Well, they've only played one home game, so I can't give
yeah.
you.
Yeah.
Maybe I can go to last year. Let me see here.
So.
Stand by.
So we were playing when Portland State plays their game in October at the Timber Stadium, because they kept advertising that, and my buddy was like, dude, we should go.
Here we go.
And he's like, that place is going to be packed. And I said, to hell that is that's going to be packed. So now we have a debate going on how many people are going to show up at the Portland State game at the Timbers.
Okay, so November of last year,
yeah,
the last game, Lewis and Clark got a gritty 35-7 win over Willamette.
That is gritty.
At Griswold Stadium.
Yeah.
Again, November 16th. Now, it even has... They have great box scores, by the way. Their weather, cloudy.
Yeah. Okay. Football weather.
Kickoff time, 2:30 on the 16th of November. 1,296 people.
So we can say pretty confidently that their paid attendance, 1,200, so there's probably 900 in the building.
That was probably senior day.
Yeah. Okay. I feel pretty good about that. 1,000 people. So again, I ask you, Portland State at the Timber Stadium at Providence Park, I put the over-under at 3,000. And he thinks the allure of just it being in the city. And I'm like, so you're saying the only thing keeping people from going to Portland State games is driving to Hillsboro?
Well, they used to play there.
Yeah.
Downtown.
Yeah, they used to play. It's the same thing. It's that's
fun.
Old Civic Stadium.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think it'll get... So they get... What do they get now, you say?
I don't... Who the hell... I ask... Does Portland State get that many more people than Lewis and Clark? Who goes to these things?
No, I think it's about the same.
Right?
What was he saying? He's saying that
he's claiming
he thinks there's gonna be a lot more.
Yeah, he thinks there's gonna be like 6, 7, 8, 9,000 people. He's like, oh, there's gonna be thousands.
Maybe. Who are they playing again?
I'd have to look it up.
Maybe.
They play one game a year and they're putting at the Timber Stadium.
Well, they certainly have. Well, one, he's right. Downtown, that stadium, that's different.
So you're just going to be walking around and be like, hey, Portland State's playing,
well,
let's go?
I just think there's a lot of people that don't drive out to their games because, like, why? But playing in downtown where they used to play, it's like, oh, okay, we'll go watch Portland. I mean, Portland State has a much bigger fan base than Lewis and Clark.
Do they?
Yeah, they should.
Have you seen Portland State?
By the way, last year on the 19th of October, Lewis and Clark, another feisty 51-37 win over Pacific. They drew 1,917.
Hmm.
So you get a couple thousand out
there. Yeah,
yeah. Up there.
I'm trying to find myself some.
I think Portland State gets more. Yeah, I do.
Over, under, I think we put it at 3,000. You going to take the over? Say more than 3,000 people go into that. Because he was like, dude, we need to go to this. And I said, dude, the only reason I would go to this is to see how awkward it looks, having no one in that stadium. And he goes, oh, no.
All right, I've got a data point.
Okay.
The Portland State Vikings played a game at Providence Park in 2018, so pre-pandy, but the attendance was 4,375 when they played Northern Colorado.
Well, so that's kind of in between both of you guys.
So we're getting close.
You're saying 3,000 because they're worse now.
Yes. I said, I put the over under at 3,000 and I took the under, and he thought I was crazy.
So they play at Hillsborough Stadium. Tarleton State, remember they lost to Tarleton State 42-0.
Yeah.
The attendance for that game was 1,948. So about the same as Lewis and Clark.
And here you are saying that they had way more fans than
Lewis
and Clark.
Well, they should.
Well, they don't.
I think they do.
What was the attendance? That's a very Lewis and Clark attendance.
That's one game. I'm saying Portland State has a bigger fan base than Lewis and Clark. Come on,
no, they don't.
That cannot be argued. Look,
I think it can be argued.
No, it can't. Look, Portland State
it's being argued right now.
They suck right now, okay? So if they play, I'm going to go over.
You're taking over.
I have faith. All over 3,000 right. When they play at, what do they call that stadium?
Providence.
Providence Park.
Are you kidding me?
Ooh. This could tilt it. Dude, they're playing the University of Montana.
Well, there'll be 3,000 Montana people
there. Yeah, they travel
alone.
Well.
Herein lies the question. More or less? I think we need to, this is going to get turned on.
Oh, way more.
There will be more Montana fans there than Portland State fans, and it's going to be at least double.
I was going to say at least 2-1, if not worse.
There will be more Montana State. I will say it will be closer to 50-50, and I will say now over
3,000.
Definitely.
All right.
Death. Most death.
I didn't realize.
Will Portland State score?
Is Montana good? Montana's good like every year, but I don't know how good they are.
Did you say Montana State or Montana?
I think it's Montana.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I don't think Portland State scores.
I think they scored 3 points last game.
Great.
Yeah.
Did they play?
Ooh. So this is Portland State so far. 42-0, Tarleton State. 69-0, BYU. 50-20.
You think BYU hit 69 on purpose?
Yes. And by the way, BYU, like, they were, like, making jokes about it. They lost to North Dakota 50-20.
Shut up.
But they did score 20. And then at Hawaii, get this, they only gave up 23 points. Defense getting better. But they scored 3.
Boy, that's an indictment on Hawaii.
Yeah.
They only got 23 points.
They have scored 23 points all year. Yeah, no. Oh, by the way, November 15th, it's going to be nice and cold and rainy there at Providence Park.
Somebody said skedaddle.
You think 1,000 Portland State fans are showing up in the rain when that team's 0-for? That might be all Montana fans. That might be
80-20.
Wins the game?
November 15th.
Okay. We'll keep an eye out. Listen, we're way over. We got to go. In the news. Are we at In the News?
Yeah, I think
that's correct.
Yeah. Is Mount St. Helens erupting? Here's Buck.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
Not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland you know, think of the Browns, outside of Browns.
You know why
fans.
It's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos.
Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
If they get a bad back, they die.
Okay. Pete Alonso went yard while you were away.
All is right with the world.
Just
and
wanted,
I'm eating garlic bread.
Wanted to tell you that. Okay, but we're suing you because...
Where did you get garlic bread right now?
From home.
Okay.
The BTJ made lovely garlic bread and spaghetti and meatballs. So I got some leftovers.
You have Tupperware? Mm-hmm. You got to take back?
Yeah. Oh, she gets very mad at me if I leave the Tupperware.
Well, yeah. It's important. Yeah. All right. Well, why don't you go ahead and finish chewing and I'll carry the show for a bit. Linfield, not to belabor, because we're way over.
But we're about to belabor.
Yeah. Somebody said, I bet you Linfield, this is the text line, has better attendance than Portland State. They do not. They have played one game, a shocking loss to Wisconsin Oshkosh.
Ooh, that's tough.
At home, and there were 1,712 people there. I would like, so it's on par, yeah, at least for that game, with Lewis and Clark. Yeah. Now, I would like to point out something that I've never noticed, because I've never been down this rabbit hole of Division III box scores.
Yeah.
Why is it that the box scores for Division III schools are so much better than box scores for FBS schools?
I think maybe they have to try a little harder.
Well, they do a great job.
Kudos to them.
You can even get them in PDF form. Yeah. It tells you attendance, temperature, wind, weather, all the score. I mean, the line judge was Ryan Leininger. Are you kidding me?
They do a great job.
My old buddy Ryan.
That's what they're known for. Line judges and box scores.
Well, they do a great job.
Well, I just
wanted to point that out.
Whenever I would go and like visit a buddy or whatever, I go and see like a Division III game. There's some good parts about college football, but football sucks, kind of. It's hard. It's a lot of time. It's kind of a brutal sport.
Can we get that? Should we use that?
What?
Football sucks, kind of?
Yeah.
Yeah, probably.
I think we could use that.
So whenever I would see, when I'd go like a Division III game, I'd be like, why do you guys do this? You're not on scholarship. Like, you're out there putting in all this effort, and then you go out and there's like 9 people in the stands.
I was
like,
a lie.
That's just... For the love of the game, I guess.
It is September 16, 2025. It's time now for In the News. I'm your Notre Newsman. Hello, thank you. Please be seated. All rise. Thank you. It's brought to you by the Advocates Injury Attorneys at advocateslaw.com. Today is National Stay Away from Seattle Day.
Oh. Okay.
And I have no problem doing that.
I do. I like Seattle. I'm pro Seattle.
Now, you may think that that is like stay away from Seattle because Seattle bad.
Mm-hmm.
Is not. It is the people of Seattle want you to stay away today because they need a break from the tourists.
Oh.
Which, again...
I think every place is like that.
Isn't that...
Like, there's a lot of... We're going to Portugal next month, and they're doing a lot of that stuff. In fact, like, one of the big Portugal attractions is they have, like, these... Like this cave, like, on the beach, and they've shut it down. They basically just said that it would... Like, no one... You're not allowed to go in it anymore. It's, like, their number one tourist spot, and they're just tired of tourists. People all around the globe are basically saying, take your tourism dollars and cram them.
I've got Portugal Rex for you. We'll talk.
All right.
It is also National Guacamole Day.
Who doesn't love guacamole?
Could be the final hot day of the year.
Yeah, I said it was like in the 70s. It was like 80-something today?
Yeah, I was driving around. It was 80 Dude, plus.
It's 81. 87 degrees
oh
right now.
Oh, my God.
It's hot.
Yeah.
It's hot out there.
Yeah, I thought, it was nice outside.
It's hot.
I didn't realize it was that hot. So this is our last.
This is it.
This is it.
It's going to cool down a little bit tomorrow. Mm. Weekend's going to be downright pleasant.
You know, that means boys of fall.
It's coming.
Yeah.
You know it's coming.
Chill in the air.
Coming like right now.
Yeah.
Is Mount St. Helens erupting?
Currently, I don't think so. I hope not.
Well, many people think it is.
It is.
They do.
You just randomly think it's erupting right now?
Many people do.
Who is many people?
People are saying.
People are saying. Yeah, Padres hit a home run.
This says it may look a bit like Mount St. Helens is erupting, but it is not.
Hmm.
The ash you can see blowing around the volcano is actually remnants of the infamous 1980 eruption.
What?
Yes.
Really?
Really.
Huh.
Webcams provided by the United States Geological Survey captured images of a huge cloud of grayish-brown ash rising from the mountain slopes. Officials with the National Weather Service in Portland were quick to confirm that it was not an eruption. As of noon, there hadn't been any air quality impacts reported in nearby towns or cities. The ash was being blown to the west-northwest, and the phenomenon isn't connected to volcanic activity.
So it's just old ash?
It's, yeah.
Can
yeah,
I?
Just laying there.
Can I ask, like, again, I'm a dumbass. It's just been sitting there?
I'm sitting on there.
Since 1980? Like, what?
Sounds like it.
Hasn't,
just sitting there.
Hasn't it blown away? Like, there's some, like, water and, like, blown away. Like, it just, ash just sits there forever? Like, that's why I was like, what? It's from 1980? That just seems,
yeah.
That seems.
Well, you've been up there.
Yeah, I have, but
there's
I.
not much, I mean.
I don't remember walking through knee-deep piles of ash.
It doesn't have to be knee-deep.
Huh. That's a bit of a shocker to me.
Sorry to shock you.
Yeah.
But it is not erupting.
I don't think you are. Sorry. I think you like bringing shocking news to the people. I think that's what they've come to expect.
I'm a shock jock, yeah.
You are.
That's right. Coming up next, Portland's first ever staycation on The Fan.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns
You know
fans.
Why it's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos.
Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Right. I'm gay, I'm gay, I'm gay.
I haven't dusted that one off in a while.
Well, I was kind of hoping. Well, never mind. This is in the news for September 16, 2025.
And never mind.
Hello.
I ate ass.
You said you were at the Timbers game last weekend, or yeah. Was that Sunday?
Saturday.
Did you know that Portland was offering a staycation weekend?
Yeah, didn't we mention that in the news?
I never did. You might have, but I mean, I haven't been out, so
I may have just seen it in the news.
Probably saw it. I didn't see it until after the fact, which I think is odd.
No,
they had this whole staycation thing.
Yes,
and I didn't see it till Monday.
Yeah,
so it's over.
Yes, but sometimes I get confused with what I read in the news versus what I actually hear in the news. But yes, I did see that we were trying to do a. Stay in Portland.
Well, they didn't publicize it very well.
No, I just.
But it was the last weekend in Portland. They were encouraging you to become a tourist yourself.
Yes, and rediscover what makes Portland great. And they're trying to, it's tourism dollars are great, but ultimately businesses need your dollars. They need you to go out and get back into the city and start pumping money in.
So they had the Timbers game against the New York Red Turtles. Had the scavenger hunt, or a scavenger hunt,
yeah.
Not the A. I don't know what that means.
I don't know if there is the is there one, like, one scavenger hunt to end all scavenger hunts?
They had a block party in Chinatown. They had discounts for many local businesses, and they reopened the downtown Sunday parkways after a decade of being shut down. I don't know what that means.
I don't know either. Nor do I know what are the downtown...
Sunday parkways.
Know what that...
I never heard of them.
Yeah, I'm not familiar. Maybe that's something.
Maybe that's something.
Well, I mean, that we've never heard of it. Like, you want us to, like, explore those places, but I don't even know what those places are. We've both lived here now for God knows how many years.
That is something that I have not heard before.
PDX Pop Live Music Festival. So they did a lot of cool stuff. Hopefully you took advantage because no one knew about it.
No.
Poor marketing.
I did a little bit of a bar crawl, but I do that almost every Friday.
They should have told your noted newsman. I would have disseminated that.
But I was at one of the events.
And you still didn't know.
And I still didn't know that it was going on.
Very Portland of us.
Yeah. Well, wouldn't they at the game, I guess...
Say something?
Yeah, say... I don't know. It was Native American Heritage Night.
Oh.
At the
Well, you knew that and knew not
that.
The staycation.
This, yes.
It's just, you know... What are we doing?
And I still don't know about the Sunday parkways, which have been closed for a decade, which I still don't know what they are.
I would like to assign you to look that up.
What would they call it?
Sunday parkways. They've been closed for a decade, apparently. That is in the news for September 16, 2025. It's brought to you by the Advocates Injury Attorneys at advocateslaw.com. Mm. We get back to Wivalry Week.
Love Wivalry Week.
We have some injury news.
Have we gotten the Mac news yet? I've yet to see it.
Mac, what do you mean?
Khalil Mack, you didn't see?
He's out for a while.
His elbow went the wrong way 90 degrees, but is that a dislocated elbow, you're out a month, or is that your arm's broken?
Well, I was talking about Wivalry Week. He doesn't play
would be something.
There are rumblings, though.
If Oregon State wanted a chance, putting Khalil Mack out on the field...
How much would that help?
It would help a lot.
If Oregon State had a healthy Khalil Mack.
What about a one-armed Khalil Mack? Would that make a difference?
Fascinating.
Probably not, but yes, I do believe a healthy Khalil Mack could disrupt things quite a bit.
All right, we'll get back to that coming up next on The Fan.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. TNCs apply. In app only.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know who. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.